Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather for 2011. Yay! Tonight is our first show because last weekend was the New Year's Eve and I took the weekend off. I'm back wishing you a lovely new year. Yay, yay, yay. Because we are officially in 2011, which is a 4 year. So when we're in a four, what a four is about really solidly putting down roots, grounding, creating, conquering, all those four words. For those of you who follow astrology, you know four is a square. So we take action on squares, and we also create on squares. So one of the things we're going to talk about tonight is the energy of foot in the heavens, how it feels, what you can do with it, how to use it productively, and also what is a little bit ahead for us in the year 2011. And also, as I sit here at my bright red desk overlooking a snowbound New York, formerly snowbound, it's actually pretty melted, we have a lot of stuff going on in terms of the energy of what we're learning how to work with. So we're going to cover a little bit of what went on last week because it was a big week and we didn't have the radio show, and then we're going to pick up with this week. So we'll do a few minutes on last just because it was kind of important. So last week a few things happened. We had the new moon eclipse, boom, 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 on the 4th, which was Tuesday. And the new moon eclipse was at 13 of Capricorn. It was seated in August 14th in 1776, long time ago, but you hear those numbers, you should be thinking, Revolutionary War. Shortly after the Declaration of Independence would have gotten across the ocean to George, King George. And so that eclipse is really a declaration of independence for each of us, too, because that new moon eclipse was at a very important degree in the U.S. chart and a very important degree in all of our charts because we live in the United States of America. Well, if you don't live in here, you're listening from overseas, that's okay, but this is more for the American audience. So that eclipse was very powerful, and it really speaks to a kind of a new beginning. And it was interesting that the Senate and the Congress met, and they decided to read the Constitution. And it took them a few hours, which I thought was actually very good, because they read it out loud for everybody to hear. And forward we go. So we are now with an eclipse. And then also a few hours later, after the eclipse on the 4th, last Tuesday, was the last conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus. Now, they met, this is the third and final. They met in June, on the first week in June. They met in the middle of September, and then they met now. So the first week of June, they met in the sign of Aries, saying, okay, this is where we're headed. And then they said, wait, we don't have enough time. We're not ready yet. You know, the whole thing, I've got to put my sneakers on. I've got to put my running shoes. And so they both went back into Pisces for a little while, where they have been all fall. Now they're going forward. And they met, conjunct, and they said, okay, officially we're launching. Now, when they met, they were also trying to Venus in Scorpio, who was at the last degrees of Scorpio. Now, you all know we've had 100 days of over-the-top Scorpio passion as Venus went retrograde in the sign of Scorpio basically all fall long, at least 100 days of fall, with a brief 22 days in the middle there, kind of parsed out for Libra in November. But Venus trined Jupiter and Uranus. The ascendant for the United States chart was late Scorpio trining Jupiter and Uranus. And that whole big constellation, there's a big clump of planets traveling together right now, was in Capricorn in the second house, asking us to speak to what was of value to us. Now, on Friday last week, Venus left Scorpio. Yay! And she went into Sag on Friday, and it shifted. It felt like there was a big cosmic shift. It felt easier energetically. People felt a little happier. There was a little less Sturm und Drang. Of course, there were, as Venus left Scorpio, there was kind of a little explosion of that over-the-top passion, you know, and you may have had kind of an explosion if you have a lot of Scorpio planets in your chart, or you may have been witness to an explosion of over-the-top passion that seemed really rather disproportionate to what was going on. But that's Venus in Scorpio. When she crawls out of the Swamp Man, she can take some energy with her. So if you blew apart relationships last week, no worries. They probably need to be blown up a little bit. Doesn't mean they're, you have to leave it in that state. But as Venus left the swamp and crawled ashore, she got fiery. She got mad. She yelled. She's in fire now. She's in a fire sign. So she's not so much feeling the emotions and the passions internally. She wants to send them out into the mutable sign of Sagittarius. So that new moon, coupled with Venus in her water energy at the last degrees of Scorpio, trining Jupiter-Uranus in their late degrees of Scorpio, or their late degrees of Pisces, as they're starting this new cycle, led us all to have this kind of energetic release. At the same time, Venus finished squaring Neptune and Chiron. So we saw something clearly. Okay, she passed the square to Neptune and Chiron, which is the, you know, certainly the whole health care debate. And on a political note, that would be the woman who got shot by the guy. and, of course, the blaming of Sarah Palin because she had the, you know, the map of the United States with the Democrats that had voted for Obamacare on it with bullet holes or bullet sightings, rifle sightings. I don't know quite what I didn't. I was away this weekend, so I didn't really catch all of it. But that's the whole Venus and Scorpio squaring to that Jupiter and Neptune, where we're going to say, okay, let's break free of what would normally hold us back. Now, I don't happen to think Sarah Palin talked to the crazy guy who showed up with a gun and shot people. However, the rhetoric of hate that really has been running in this country for a long time, that Scorpio energy is really bad. And the fact that she took down that little segment on her website probably speaks to some recognition of responsibility. Not that she caused him to do it, but, you know, when we say it's okay to hate people and it's okay to hurt people, people hate and hurt. And when we say this is an unacceptable behavior, we have to stop, or we have to at least own our stuff, you know, take it back, own it. Then it's like, okay, what are we doing? So anyway, right now, Sagittarius, we've had this eclipse. We had the last new moon. The other thing with the eclipse is it was besieged. Now, when a planet is besieged, it means that it's surrounded by malefics. So this particular eclipse was besieged. Mars and Pluto straddled it, as did Athena, joined to Pluto. And the two of them, Pluto and Athena and Mars, were on the midpoint. The midpoint of those planets was on the sun and moon, the new moon. So this is a very powerful eclipse. It has Mars and Pluto joined together with Athena to help you see the patterns and to help you see the reason this kind of stuff happens is this. So I don't want this to happen anymore. That means I need to change this. And I know I had that happen to me last week, and I had a number of people report in saying that they had this happen to them, that they really got clear on, you know, I have to own my stuff, and when I do this, it permits this, or this to happen, and I don't want that anymore. So maybe I need to change my reactions, my behavior on my side. Capricorn is all about being personally responsible. Now, it's in the sign of Libra, which tends to want to share the blame, but ultimately, we are responsible for the interactions that we have with other people, good, bad, or indifferent. And part of this new moon eclipse is saying to you, if you don't like the interactions you're having, better change something, because otherwise they're going to get there. And it's really about understanding what your vision is for yourself, because that stellium of planets was all in the second house in the U.S. chart, and it was all in your Capricorn house in your chart, wherever you live or wherever your natal chart is. So Capricorn is all about our karma, our purpose for existing. It's always talking to our natal Saturn by sign and placement, whatever house it's in. So all of us are really, really focusing on what our purpose is, why we're here, what we're supposed to do, what our Saturn, our karmic responsibility is in this lifetime. And the more we can get clear on how that works and how that lays out, the better we'll be doing. Okay, so it's understanding that this is a really important time. We're still in the eclipse period. They're releasing now because we've had the new moon. We had the full moon a couple weeks ago. But I thought it was particularly instructive that this eclipse started from the North Pole and it comes down. And it's visible from Dublin across Europe and then up through Geneva and then up into upper Siberia. And interestingly, there was an article on the towns above Siberia. I didn't know people lived above Siberia, but they do. articles on those towns up there and what's going on up there, because they found a baby woolly mammoth that had melted and been released from the mud, and it's apparently pretty cool. So it's an interesting time that we're in. So we watched the eclipse. It was 7 minutes, so that means it's going to last for 7 years across Europe. We had the new moon eclipse on the 21st of December, which was visible in the United States, and that lasted, I'm trying to remember, like 4 hours or something. So that's 4 or 5 months, because lunar eclipse are months, solar eclipse are years. And we're now at a turning point. We had 3 releasing full moons all fall when Venus was in Scorpio. Venus is at the last degree, trining that Jupiter-Uranus, and she's saying to you, we're getting ready to go into Aries. And I know you have felt, as most of everybody has felt, that it feels like it's getting faster. Hard to believe, but it is. Because right now, both Uranus and Jupiter are full speed ahead into Aries. All right, so they are chomping at the bit. They're ready to go. They're ready to start new zodiac cycles for you in your Aries house. Jupiter is going to start a new 12-year cycle starting on January 22nd. And Uranus is going to start a new 84-year cycle starting in March, okay? And this is very momentous times, because we don't normally start 12-year cycles. Well, we only start them every 12 years. But for all of us, this is the first time it's been in Aries in our lifetime. And this is the beginning of a new cycle. Uranus is the cycle for the collective. It rules the house of the people. So we can expect revolutionary acts, and we can expect people to be a little mad, crazy, over the top, but also interested in changing things, interested in saying, I'm ready for a difference, I'm ready for a vision, I want a new way of approaching things. And so Uranus in Aries has a very strong focus on the collective's vision of what's possible, and then next, taking action to do something about it. So you're going to feel, as this energy picks up, because that's all that's going to happen right now, is that Aries energy is going to be picking up, is a need to do something, a need to take action, a need to move, a need to get out more, a need to go do stuff, a need to change things, whatever that need is, whatever that Aries house is in your chart, you're going to feel it as having this desire to really take off. And support that. Work with that. Go for it. Give it permission. Cheer it on. Say, yay, rah, yay, rah. Because the kind of the energy is really clearing now to be a full speed, blah, 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 ahead. That wasn't very well executed, but whatever. Full speed ahead, because Jupiter wants us to go fast and expand. And he's also very interested in us being starting a whole new cycle, because he's back at the world axis down at zero Aries saying, I'm ready to go. Let's go, people. So expect the feeling that it's going to get faster. Expect that you're going to feel like it's moving speedy. Expect and really kind of listen to where that you're being called. And whatever the new moon story was for you last week, as that new moon opened, it really gave a lot of energy. The other thing that happened last week was we had Eris station retrograde. Now, these are new planets. We're starting to learn what they're about. We don't really have 100% definitions of them, but we are really starting to get the feel for them. And Eris is the goddess of discord. And she stationed on the 8th of January, which means that the few days before and the few days after the 8th, which was Saturday, tended to have a bit of discord in them or a bit of dissatisfaction. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with dissatisfaction. Eris, for her own sake, can be a little argumentative, but she also is irritated for a reason. And so it's always good when there's a planet that's irritated or irritating to look and see why. So if you notice what you were irritated by or whom you were irritating last week, always good. And as Eris stopped, she stationed at 21 Aries to go retrograde, or to go direct, I'm sorry. So she's going to be moving forward with the planets. So we had a bunch of things happen last week. We had Ceres entered Aquarius, and we had the eclipse, and we had Jupiter joining with Uranus at 27 Pisces, like 3 hours, 3.5 hours after the eclipse on the 4th of January. Then we had Venus squaring Chiron and Neptune, saying to them, okay, I'm releasing the fear and the pain, and she did that. And then we had her entering Sagittarius, saying, I'm out of Scorpio. We're done with 100 days of rolling around in the mud. We're off to new journeys. We also had the Sun square Saturn, which on the 7th would have given you a sense of pushing against the river and running and running, and you weren't really getting very far. And then on the 8th, Eris stationed to go retrograde. So that's kind of the story from last week. So that's the Cliff Notes version. I do apologize for missing last week, but I was kind of like, hey, it's a new year, and I was playing. I have determined I'm going to have fun every week. Hopefully not always on Sundays. No, not on Sundays. But I do want to announce a slight programming change. This show, because of changes in the radio station, they're going to make me go to a half-an-hour format, not during prime time. This is a prime time slot, as I understand it. The prime time slots run from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Every day. So this is a 9 o'clock slot on Sundays. So I'm kind of thinking I will do it earlier on Sunday, maybe make it 11 in the morning, make it kind of like you're, you know, after you listen to some of the morning talk shows, although I'm usually pretty heated after listening to those myself, so maybe I shouldn't do it at 11. But if you have some suggestions for when this would make sense for you, feel free to email me, drop me a note and say, hey, you know, would like, I know your show has to move. What time would make sense for you, or what time you'd like to hear it? Because it is, I mean, I know many of you can get it downloading, but there is a growing audience that listens to it live. So if the live folk have an opinion and what time would be good for them, you know, feel free to shoot me a note. We'll be at 9 o'clock for an hour until we get to the end of the month. And then in February, we move to a half-hour format and not during prime time. So I guess that's we are a victim of Blog Talk Radio's success. Because unless you want to pay a lot of money, not a lot of money, but pay for it, it's like $40 a month. And I'm like, you know, that's a lot of money. Not a lot, but, you know, I can think of other things to do with $40 a month. So we're going to go for half an hour and a time slot change. So feel free to write if you have an opinion. Okay. This week, we have exciting things happen. Okay. So let's talk about what's coming up for the week of January 10th, and then we'll take your callers. I see there's a few of you on the line already. And we will go forward. Okay, so this week ahead, we don't have any eclipses. Yay, we're done. We are moving towards the full moon, which will be in another week or so. So we mosey that way. And the full moon this time will be in Aquarius Leo, which is always kind of a fun one because the Leo full moon is kind of playful and happy. All right, so this week on tomorrow, the 11th, the Sun squares Eris, who just stopped. Remember, Eris, the goddess of discord, stopped. So now we're going to be having discord conversations because we're going to be looking and going, I can't believe they said that. This is Sun square Eris is really, really a can't believe they said that. So the Sun is at 20 degrees of Capricorn squaring Eris. And Capricorn is kind of one of those comments where people make, you know, they say the comment to you and then they go, yeah, you know, like I had a skirt, like, you know, you walk in and you think you're looking really hot and good. And you, they say to you, you know, I had a skirt like that when I was 14. You know, and you kind of are like, hey, you're telling me I look like I'm acting like a teenager? Or, gee, you know, you're so smarter. How come you're not more successful? It, you know, it's one of those kind of, you get a compliment in it that with an observation that's Capricornian, usually involving some form of judgment. And then there's like the little bitchy remark right behind it, okay? So that's tomorrow. Just be aware, we're all going to be in the mood to kind of slap somebody upside their face. And your job is to say, oh ho, there's that Sun square Eris. I don't have to hit them if I don't want to. But maybe I will dump a glass of water on their head. It's a great day to not be mean to the waitresses because they will spit in your food, okay? Sun is also trine Sedna this next little chunk of time. And so Sun Trine Sedna is very positive, and it says, gee, you know, I'm really ready for kind of a whole new way of working. And this, you know, Sedna as the ocean goddess, as the Inuit ocean goddess, it really gives an energy of connection and perception. And the Sun is also trine Admetos. Now, we do include the Uranian planets, for those of you who don't know what they are. They are bodies we're waiting for the astronomers to find. And Admetos tends to end things. That happens on the 15th. Okay, so Sun trines Admetos, where you might very nicely say, gee, you know, it's been really fun knowing you, but I don't want to know you anymore. I'm going to leave now. And then you turn, and as the Sun opposes Vulcan, as you drive away with a giant accelerator and the speed of your brakes. So the 15th and the 16th this week, we're going to be in the mood to leave someone behind and move on with our life. And it can be your own bad habits, too. It doesn't have to be a person. Now, remember, one of the things that Venus in Scorpio has been really, really good at doing for us is bringing in people that reflect our shadow to us. And those of you who've studied any Jungian stuff or read any Jungian books know that the shadow, or Freudian stuff, that the shadow is the part of ourselves that we feel a little ashamed about, that we're not sure we really want to claim as our own. But because it's unclaimed, it acts out like the crazy person in Rochester's attic. Remember his crazy wife up in the attic in Jane Eyre? And Jane Eyre was kind of like, I think there's a crazy woman in your attic. And he's like, oh, no, just ignore the crazy woman in the attic. Or in The Wizard of Oz, you know, when Toto runs over and pulls the curtain back about the little guy, and the great and powerful Oz is standing there going, ignore the little guy behind the curtain. You know, don't pay any attention to him. Talk to me. And you kind of go, so who are you, the little great and tiny guy behind the curtain here, talking into the microphone, making Oz go wild? The shadow is the part that when we don't own it, it gets acted out or played out on us. A lot of times if you have planets in the western part of your chart, or you're having a transit in the western part of your chart, meaning the houses 4 through 9, you can have a person come in that you project your shadow on, meaning they come in and they kind of behave like the planet. You met Pluto, you met Saturn, you met whoever, and you have to learn how to work with them. Other times, those planets that live there in your chart can be projected, meaning you don't own them, or the planets you don't like very much. So let's say you don't like your Saturn much. You can make your Saturn be a bad external authority, and therefore you're always getting in power struggles with your boss. Well, you know, it's your Saturn. When you get into power struggles with your authority figures, you're working out your father stuff. You've projected onto your boss, meaning you look at the boss, and instead of seeing your boss, who's a guy who pays you money to do your job, you see your father, or perhaps you see your mother, but you don't see the person there. And then you get into a little struggle with them, or you get into some kind of relationship with them that mimics the thing that goes on with your boss. There's an excellent book on this by Johnson called Inner Gold, which talks about how we project our own good stuff as well as our bad stuff onto other people, failing to own it. So we've got a lot of projection running around in the sky this week. We had a ton of it when Venus was in Scorpio because we didn't necessarily want to say that was our stuff that was crawling around in the mud. You remember when you were a little kid and you took your mother and father took you someplace and you were badly behaved and they did not want to own you as their child? You could tell you embarrassed them. We all got a little embarrassed this last fall by our stuff rolling around in the mud. It was kind of a badly behaved part of us, or a section of our being that we don't really feel like we're in particular control of, and it was acting up, or someone else came in and kind of stirred up our stuff. That's shadow. That's projection. When we get all riled up and we think it's the other guy, it's usually ours. It's usually our stuff we're annoyed about. So at any rate, we had that. Venus now is in Sagittarius. She's much more frank, direct, straightforward. She's going to shoot from the hip and say what she thinks. So that's good. But as we all migrate towards it, we're all going to be a little bit in the mood to kind of take back our shadow and perhaps even own the stuff and be conscious with it. So when that happens, we always look to see what Mercury's doing, because Mercury is our consciousness. And Mercury's busy this week. He squares Jupiter. Last week on the 10th, he squared Uranus, which was yesterday, or is tomorrow, I guess. Tomorrow's the 10th. He squares Uranus, and he sextiles Neptune, saying, okay, I'm going to let the dream happen and change it. And he squares Jupiter. So we can expect unexpected announcements or unexpected news as he squares Uranus and Jupiter. Now remember, they just joined last Tuesday on the new moon with all that activity with the trine and the sextile, and they were happy and yeah, yeah. So now Mercury comes along and he goes, okay, let's talk, guys. And they're going to dish. So you can expect really interesting information the 10th and the 11th, Monday, Tuesday. And then we go into a little bit harder aspects towards the end of the week, where Mercury's going to be wanting to make some stuff change. And, you know, he's not unpowerful, but he's in Sagittarius, which is his least one of his less effective signs because he talks too much. You know how, like, when you're a little kid and you're going, Mommy, you know, I really want to, and your mother, like, just kind of tunes out? That's what Mercury's doing right now, as opposed to no cookies, you know? You don't eat cookies. No. Even more plain. So Mercury goes into Capricorn this week. He goes into Capricorn on the 13th. And he goes, no. Or he goes, yes. But up until the 13th, he tends to be a little over-talky and gives a lot of information but doesn't really say anything. Then once he goes into Capricorn, he gets a little more precise. Now remember, he's leaving his shadow. He's, you know, he's going direct. But he's basically revisiting the story from December. And then on the 15th, he joins with the Node of Destiny, which can be a very important connection or commitment, that you're going to make a commitment or a connection on that day. And so Mercury joining to the North Node is a commitment connection, because in Sagittarius, he's very wordy, communicative, talking too much. Plus, he's aspecting all these planets, so he's getting a little overwrought, overexcited, with the square to Uranus and Jupiter, and he's maybe blabbering away. And then when he goes into Capricorn, he turns into one-word guy. No. Yes. And you know how, like, when people don't talk, it can make you nervous, especially if you're a talker, or you're nervous and you're talking anyway. So Mercury's shifting into the silent sign end of the week. And he's also going to be very focused when he goes into Capricorn, because when he's in Sag, he's very scattered. So you can feel very scattered up until the 13th, and then you're going to feel like, okay, I'm focusing. And that's, you know, kind of think of it as the beginning of the week will be a little scattershot. The back end of the week will be a little more focused. Then we get to Venus, what she's doing. She's a busy girl this week. She is, hang on, let me change my page of paper here. She is having an argument with Pluto, which is never good. The goddess of love having a little slap down with the big boy in the sky, never fun. And she's also arguing with Cronos, and she's also arguing with Poseidon. So she's, you know, been in the swamp, she's out of the swamp in Sagittarius, so whenever a planet enters the early degrees, it does have a little bit of stressful energy. Mercury's going to be stressed next week. This week, Venus is stressed, and we just kind of find, okay, you know, we're a little stressed, just be quiet, hang, it'll be okay. Mars has action too, not an enormous amount, but he does have some stuff, and he also changes signs this week. He leaves Capricorn, and he goes into Aquarius on the 15th. So he has, because he's at the back end degree. Remember, whenever any planets are at the back or at the very beginning, they're aspecting our former T-square from August. So in this case, Mars is going to be aspecting Neptune and Uranus and Chiron and Jupiter and Juno before he goes into Aquarius. So he's at the back end of Capricorn. And so remember, Jupiter and Neptune are there. So that's a sextile. So that's the whole healthcare reform bill. Are we going to change it? Are we not going to change it? There's going to be a bunch of stuff about that. And certainly the woman who got her head shot, the congressman, you know, that was supposedly based on Obamacare. Although he's just a crazy person, I don't know. At any rate, Mars sextiling Uranus and Jupiter at the last degrees is very much about taking action. Now, Mars is in a closing sextile, so you go back to when Mars was last in Pisces, which was last spring. You started a project then, and now you're finishing it. Or two, spring 2 years ago, I'm sorry. You started a project then, and now you're finishing it up. Okay, and as the Mars sextile happens, you can expect a stage of initial final completion where you get a reward for the work that you've done. And then he goes into Aquarius, starting a new cycle in air. Mars in air is good. He's a little detached, a little cool, a little chilly. Not nearly as focused as he is in Capricorn on productivity, but he's doing more of a big picture. So the beginning of the week is productive. Back end of the week is going up to big picture and kind of flying above the horizon. We talked last week about Jupiter and Uranus joining. And now this week, Jupiter's arguing with Chiron. So this week on the 12th, you can feel that your wound is opened, or you can feel that someone's criticizing you and you really don't get why. You know, they should maybe leave you alone. And Jupiter, when he aspects Chiron, you know, as the principle of relating, he was Chiron's father, but he abandoned him. Didn't want him. Didn't know he had him. You know, it was just kind of a sleep and run kind of thing. But Chiron knows who his father is, even if Jupiter doesn't know he's the son. So this is one of those father-son kind of weeks, or a week where you can have an interaction with your authority figure where that you realize they just don't see you. And it's not right or wrong. It just is. You want them to see you. You want them to know who you are, but they don't. And that, you know what? You'll realize it's okay. You'll kind of look and go, wow, they really don't see me, you know? So we had this in November, too, around Thanksgiving. So when you were home with your family, there could have been the sense of, wow, they really don't know who I am, do they? And it's okay. It's not a bad thing. It's just kind of getting clear on they don't know you. And, you know, maybe they never will, or they know the part of you that they know, but their vision of you can't expand past what they have. So, I told the story back then, but in my case, you know, my father, I was sitting talking to somebody Thanksgiving night, you know, dinner time. We were having Thanksgiving dinner with neighbors of my aunt and uncle. And the man said, so, you know, what do you do? And I said, I'm an astrologer. He goes, oh, you can make a living doing that? I said, well, yeah, actually I can. I make a pretty good living. And my father pipes up from the couch. She gets bored and she changes her jobs. And I kind of looked at him and I went, what? Now, mind you, my father's 81, you know, and he's an Aries. And so he says what he thinks, and he thinks what he says, and it just kind of all comes out. He goes, she gets bored and she changes her jobs. And I'm like, okay, wow, that's a really good way of thinking of me. You know, like, that's his vision. That's how he sees what I do with my career. Now, I, as an Aquarius rising, Sag on the midheaven, I can tell you how all my changes have been related, how they've all helped me pursue my spiritual path, or they've helped follow the vision I have of my life. And I'm Aquarius rising, so I do change things. And Sagittarius, I do go for the vision thing. And if I'm bored, I do leave. Obviously, the part my father heard was, she's bored, she leaves. And I went, wow, that's his vision. Cool. So this week, when your authority figure comments to you about their vision of you, or when you comment to one of your authority figures from a wounded place, because it's going to be from one of your wounds, and you say to your authority figure, you never saw me clearly. That's Jupiter Chiron. The point of it is to know no one is ever going to see you clearly. It's a very deep wish, but it is never going to happen. As close as you are, as connected as you are, they are going to see parts of you. They are going to see most of you. They may even see what you would consider the very important bits of you, but they're never going to see all of you. Your soul is your soul, and it's your soul. And if you met them when you were 25, there's that whole 25 years of life before they ever met you that you had that they never know about. And if they were your mother and they lived with you all the years of your life, you left the house and went off to school, you went off to work, you went off, there's parts they never know about. So this week when that aspect happens, we all get a little reminder that our soul's journey is our own, and it isn't tied to any other journey. It's our own unique journey, and no one else will ever understand it completely because it's our journey. And that can be a good feeling or a bad feeling, but we will have that feeling. And if you understand it and you say, oh, that's what she was talking about on that radio show, I get it, that makes sense, that's what this is. There can be an opportunity for a cold this week because Saturn aspects a health planet on the 15th. So kind of watch, and you know, what's coming. And we also have Pluto joining. Pluto had joined with Athena and is starting to separate from them and moving forward. So we are all seeing our patterns in a new way. So the other part of that Jupiter to Chiron is saying, I see my pattern and I understand why I really want you to see my soul. You know, my father characterizing my jobs and my career as, well, she gets bored and she leaves. I was just like, what? But that's his vision. He did the same job for 30 years. A whole different reality, man. You know, my job changing, obviously he had to put some kind of label on it because he didn't know how to do it. That's the other thing to watch this week, what you label things, how you label things, and come up with positive ways of explaining it. So I would say, well, I had a vision of what I wanted to learn and do. I'm a Virgo. I always like to learn things. When I master something, I move on because I don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over again. And I'm Aquarian, so I usually leave rather than stay. I go somewhere else to get it. And I do have a vision. I'm a Sag rising, so I mid-heaven, so I am a little restless. This is true. But it's towards the mastery of the skill and the craft. Yeah, it sounds a little better than she gets bored and she leaves. Says the same thing. And I'm always reminded of my friend Marianne. And when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, she enlisted me to help her tell her mother, which I'm not quite sure why, but at any rate, I agreed because she's kind of like a sister. And so we were telling her mother that she had breast cancer, and Marianne kind of went, we were going to get her mother drunk. That was our plan. And her mother comes and announces she's on antibiotics, so she can't be drunk. Now, her mother's in her 90s and is a fellow Virgo, so she's a little, Marianne's Virgo, too. It was like a Virgo team thing. So her mother can't, so Marianne and I look at each other like, oh, shit, we're not going to be able to get your mother drunk. We sit her down on the couch. Marianne says, well, you know, I had some tests. I had a little lump in my breast. I'm going to need further treatment. And her mother goes, oh, yeah, I had that, too. And we both kind of look at each other like, wow. And her mother just continues the conversation into some other area. And then, like, the next day she called back and she said, so, you're going to have more treatment. Marianne's, yeah, I'm going to go see the doctor a few more times. That was the end of it, right? So, technically, she told her mother, you know, we Virgos are good. We do what we don't know. He's used the right words. Because she had said to me she was going to tell her mother, but not use the word cancer, tumor, any of these other words. So, she has this friend who, as she referred to her, is a blurter. And she said to her, look, when you see my mother, do not go up to my mother and say, how is Marianne's cancer treatment going? Okay, because I told my mother, but she doesn't technically know I have cancer. So the woman looks at her and goes, what did you do? And so Marianne relates the story. I had a tumor, and I told her I was getting it further, needed further treatment. I had a growth that needed further treatment. I didn't use the word tumor either. Had a lump. And so the woman goes, how did you do that? And Marianne goes, look, I've been in corporate America for years. I know how to deliver really bad news in a good way. You know, like, and I went, wow, yeah. So this week, you're going to be maybe getting or delivering or hearing really bad news in a good way or needing to reframe the vision of the news. Because we're going from Sagittarius, which is a blurter, to Capricorn, which is about what it is. So if someone says to you, it's what we expected, and you don't know what that means, they don't want you to know what it means. So don't go asking. But stay supportive. If they give you a lot of information and you have no clue what they're saying, call them up after Mercury goes into Capricorn, which is on the 13th, and say, you know, when we had that conversation last week, I don't really know what you meant by it. And if you're involved in a situation or in a relationship with someone and you really don't know what's going on, because sometimes that happens, you know, you have a fight and then you kind of make up, but you're not really sure, are you dating or you just talking or what's, you know, whatever, asking after the 13th. So, like, what actually is going on here is a good day to get the information. Because the Sag part, everybody's going to be very over-informing you. Once it gets to Capricorn, it gets much more concise. And that happens the back half of the week. And if you really, 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 really want to know, ask on the 15th, because you're not gonna miss the answer. That one's going to be really crystal clear, because Mercury's on the North Node, and everybody's going to be in the mood to say, this is what is going on. Okay, back half of the week, the asteroids, the feminine asteroids are busy. Vesta is redecorating, redoing houses, so there'll be a lot of Christmas trees on the street here in New York, because she's in the mood to kind of change things up. And she's going over Eris and over Sedna. So you're going to be in the mood to remove things that cause discord from your house. And that can be people, too. That's on the 11th. And then Eris aspecting Sedna is kind of feeling deep, profound emotions about things. That's on the 12th. So this can be a good week for breakups, where they say too much at the beginning of the week. Athena is squaring... sesquiquadrating Admetos. So on the 15th can be endings, patterns ending. Again, only ask if you really want to know what's going on, but it's a good week to get information. Juno is aspecting health planets. Again, we have two health aspects this week, so this is a good week for a good cold, your post-holiday cold, if you get them. And then Ceres is pretty quiet. Hygieia is quiet. The node station on the 12th, which often brings somebody important in. And Eris stationed last week. Yeah, that's pretty much it. We're done. And then at the end of the week, on the 15th, Selena enters Cancer. And she is a white moon goddess, so that's a new emotional reality coming in as we all move forward. So that's the week ahead. Let's talk briefly about the moons. And for whatever reason, I don't see my moon calendar around. It always seems to escape me when I'm doing this. All right. So the 9th is today. The moon's in Pisces. Closing aspect is a conjunction to Jupiter and Uranus. Goes into Aries the next couple days. And its closing aspect on the 12th of January is a trine to Mercury. And so that's a good one for communication things. And it also has a lot of energy around talking and connecting and relating. And then right before it has that trine to Mercury, it has the sextile to Neptune. Giving it a lot of energy around helping you figure out things. So that's a nice one. Then it goes into Taurus. We love Taurus moons. It's the best moon there is. And the closing aspect on that one is a trine to Mars. So we like that because the trine to Mars is an opening trine, so it's going to be it'll feel very productive and very active. And that is, hang on, I've got to get my little calendar here thing moving. So the closing aspect of a trine to Mars takes place on the 15th of January, and then it goes into Gemini. We love Gemini. That one's got a hard closing aspect because it's a square to Uranus and Jupiter. So that's got a little overdoing quality on the 16th, which is okay, not a bad thing. But the stuff you do on Sunday will be overdoing. But the week has nice ones because it's Aries and Taurus. So Aries has the lovely sextile aspect and trine aspect, and the Taurus moon has the lovely sextile and trine aspect too. So they're nice closing aspects. So basically the stuff that you begin this week has good outcome, which is always nice. So it's a good week if you've got a bunch of stuff on your desk to get it off the desk and out into the world. All right, so we're going to do some call-ins. We got about 15 minutes left according to my little switchboard thing here. And I think the theme for the week, let me think what the theme for the week would be. Last week's theme was, we're moving on, new beginnings. this week's theme is really, really. We really are moving on. And with Venus in Sagittarius, we're going to feel a lot lighter and quite a bit happier because she's not in the mud. And all the other planets are just kind of like, yeah, yeah, let's go. We're ready, we're ready. And Venus is moving fast. And we also are going to have Mercury get into Capricorn, being clear and communicating well. So that's good. Now, the other thing that's going to start as we move forward is Saturn's going to start to slow down, okay, because he's going to be stationing soon. So we're going to feel him slowing as the week comes on, as he kind of, you know, starts to poke along because he's getting to 17, the degree of his station. So we're going to feel him slowing down. So remember, there's a lot of stuff, and I said this a couple weeks ago, but it bears repeating because I didn't say it last week because I took the week off. What we want to do in the first week of January, this first couple weeks of January, is we want to do the big picture vision for our life for the year. You don't have to do everything, but you do have to have the overarching view. So what you want to do is say, okay, in this area of my life, finance, in this area of my life, relationship, in this area of my life, my family, in this area of my life, my pets, in this area of my life, my health. My vision for this section is this. And kind of do something that starts on it. Because this first month has a lot of energy to push new things forward and to change patterns, especially patterns you want to shift. So using this week, this month, to kind of get that in place before Jupiter goes into Aries on the 22nd and before Saturn stations to go retrograde in Libra till May and June, it's a great week to get that vision thing focused. So that everybody knows where you're going, even if you're not going there right this second. You have a picture. So it's an excellent, excellent week. Last week was too, but this week with Mercury going into Capricorn, you're going to be more focused rather than all scattershot. Last week it was the new moon in the second house of what's of value to you, or in your Capricorn house, which is what's of value to your karma and your purpose for existing. We're really pushing on you. So this week it's, okay, now that I'm clear on that, what am I going to do about it? Big week. Not as big as last week, but still a big week. All right, so we'll take some calls. Hi, 858, how are you?
Hi, good, how are you?
I'm good. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to, kind of just a general overview and or love, any predictions for love.
Okay, what's your birth stuff?
April 17th, 1970.
Mm-hmm. What time?
10:29 a.m.
And where?
Troy, New York.
Troy, New York. Okay. Up by Albany. Mm-hmm. I had a good friend in college from Troy.
What?
I said I had a good friend from college who lived in Troy, New York.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I remember Troy well. Not well, but, you know. Better than other cities in upstate New York.
Yeah.
All right. So your question is about love.
Sure.
Any particular question in general, or you just want me to talk about it?
Well, I guess just a general, I guess, overview for the upcoming months here. I've been through such mayhem. I'm hoping things will settle down a little.
Okay. Well, you have a nice Venus. She's a nicely placed Venus. She's in Taurus, but she's in an air sign house. She's in the 11th house, so she can be a little detached on a bad day. And you have this Sun in Aries answering to Mars in Taurus, and Mars and Venus are both in Taurus next to each other. So your love planets actually are in signs they like. Mars not so thrilled to be in Taurus because it can be sometimes slower moving than you might like. Moon rules your ascendant, so we always look to see what the moon is in, and your moon's in Virgo on the south node. So when you see that, one of the things with the ruler of your chart on the south node can make you be a little bit conservative in your thoughts about what's possible for you. Then Saturn rules your seventh house, and he's joined to Mercury and widely to Venus. So when we have Saturn joined to Mercury and Venus, one of the things we say is the person often has people from a past life that come back that they have relationships with. Because Saturn is the planet of karma, and part of your work in this lifetime is relationships with people. So what will happen is you can often meet them and, you know, kind of go fall a little crazy, you know, and you are an Aries, so Aries make decisions pretty fast, but they maybe aren't always as considered as they should be. And then you get in to the relationship and you start beating yourself up and saying, well, I should have known this and I should have known that and I should have. So I would like you to think of all of your relationships when they come in as being teaching experiences, because you have what's called a gibbous moon, which means you're here to learn. You're not necessarily here to be perfect. And perfect is way overrated. So there's an interesting columnist, and he has iTunes that he talks on too, called Dan Savage. And he kind of has this quote that he says when people call up and they say, oh, relationships, oh, you know, you know. He goes, well, you know, you just haven't found the one that's right yet. All the relationships that you're in are practice for the one that's right. And it's a nice way to think with your chart, because rather than saying to yourself that you didn't do something right or you somehow screwed up or you whatever, say you have a karmic purpose for relationships, and part of your job in this lifetime is to balance that purpose off and to work in balancing it so that you're not repeating and you're amending or fixing or changing old relationship issues in this lifetime. You don't have to do it for your whole life, but certainly the first few relationships you have will have that as part of the story. Then we look at where you are now, how ripe you are, meaning kind of where, you know, where your chart is wanting to go. And your progress moon is coming to the planet of a really nice relationship or marriage this year. So I would say to you, you know, give yourself a break. Don't beat yourself up so much. And don't criticize yourself and say, okay, if I was to sit down and tell myself all the things I've learned from relationships and they've all been practiced to find the right person, because I haven't found the right person yet, what would I tell myself if I was doing a descriptive? And remember the show I talked about, the negative version, oh, she always gets bored and leaves, as opposed to, well, what I learned from this one is this, and what I learned from that one is this. And what I, you know, kind of like, you know how like when you're experimenting with a recipe and you're trying different things and you add tarragon and you meant to add sage and it's totally different and you don't really like the taste? You go, I don't really like the taste of tarragon in this thing. And so what you've been doing up until now is trying different relationships on and recognizing that that's part of what you're supposed to do in this lifetime. And it's okay. And you are having really nice relationship aspects coming. But they're not here yet, but they are coming. You've got the progress moon coming to Juno. She's in Pisces. She's at 12 degrees. She gets to Juno in 11 months, and she's in the ninth house. She made a big connection, it looks like, last month or the month before. May not even recognize the person yet as the right one coming in, but there's a big one coming in. And when she gets up there to trine the ascendant, you know, that's nice. And she gets to the midheaven. You're also starting a new 84-year cycle around how you identify yourself and define yourself, particularly as regards to your standing in the world and status. So I would say to you, trust the process. No worries. Your big one hasn't shown up yet, and there are many in a lifetime. There's not just one. And your chart has many, 8 significant relationships, which may be more than you'd want. And it doesn't mean you have to have all 8, but you'll have morphs in the relationships that you're in, if that makes sense. Like it'll be one way once and then it'll change into something else. But you have like 8 or 9 really significant relationships in this lifetime. Because your purpose for relationships is that's where your Saturn is. It rules the house of really serious relationships. The other thing is, because you tend to see their soul rather than who they really are, be cautious before you commit, or be aware before you commit. Don't let that Aries run off half-cocked. Say to it, well, let's just see who they really are first. If they're worth it, you'll know soon. You'll know at 5 if they're worth hanging out with. If they're not, dump them. That can be 5 dates, 5 weeks, 5 hours. Watch what happens 5 after you meet them. And that will help you a lot in deciding whether to continue with them. And the reason I say 5 is because Uranus rules your co-rules your relationship house. So they show you who they are at five. And if they start talking about how they hate all their ex-wives, go, okay, I'm going to be on that list. Probably shouldn't stay with this guy. But they'll do it at 5 minutes or at 5 hours or 5 days or 5 weeks. So when they show you who they are, believe them. You tend to make excuses and try and fix them. No fixing. That's for cakes and things you bake, but not for people. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Yeah,
you do have you have nice aspects for this year. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay, go
I just joined a spiritual community, kind of, and got a job in a spiritual community.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's kind of fallen into place, and I'm out in the middle of nowhere in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wondered with that, I don't know that the person that runs the community is necessarily my guru, and it doesn't pay much at all, and I'm just wondering career-wise, you know, if it's a helpful thing that I'm doing for my career long-term.
Career stuff, I don't know that you'll be there that long. If you just took the job, Jupiter and Uranus are coming to your midheaven, which often is a career change. That's in April time frame. Mm-hmm. But it may be that you're there to meet somebody who has similar spiritual interests as you, because right now your Venus is in your 12th house of spiritual pursuits, and the node's about to go over your solar arc and progressed Venus, and that gets there in March. So you may not be there all that long, but you may be there right now to meet somebody, because the nodes are going through your house of work. They were in the house of relationships, but they're in the house of work now for a chunk of time.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, good luck with it. Keep us posted.
All right.
But remember, don't fall in love with the first one you meet, okay? Or wait
okay.
and see who they really are before you get really crazy about them.
Wait 5 hours. Okay.
At least 5 hours. Okay, bye-bye.
See.
All righty. Hello, 336. How are you? We got 2 minutes. Got to be a fast one. What's up?
Hi, Annie. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you so much for all you're doing. This is Coach K again, and me and my friends are just listening. We're really enjoying it. I'm May 17th, 1970.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's the question?
Everything has been going well. You always told me to check back, and I wanted to know about heading into the Jupiter heading into Aries, what you see for me, and help, wealth, and wisdom. I'm really wanting to just, catapult forward with this.
Okay. Well, when May 17, 1970, when Jupiter goes into Aries, he's going to set off 6 of your 10 planets. So it's good for you in general, and for all of us, it starts a new 12-year cycle. For you, it starts a 12-year cycle about your relationships, first off, and how you define what you feel like is home, and also parenting. You can get pregnant on this one if you're not careful, so watch the sperm. And a sense of abundance. And that's all going to happen in the first 6 months, because when Jupiter goes into Aries, he's in Aries for 6 months because he already spent like 4 months last year in it. But it's going to set off 6 of your planets, your Uranus, your Juno, your Moon, your Chiron, your Jupiter, and your Ceres. So it's very much a creative burst for you. So giving yourself really permission to create, very strong, and giving yourself permission to kind of try things you maybe hadn't tried before. And then in June, he goes into Taurus, which sets off all of your Taurus planets, of which you have 4, and then you've got 1 in Scorpio. So you've got a big year, year and a half around kind of first your concept of what relationship and creation is and partnering. And then once we finish that, then we get into, okay, how we can make it real. So it looks good. I say go for it. So anyway, I can give you more later, but the British lady's yelling in my ear. So we're going to finish up. All right. Okay, so that's it for the night, folks. Sorry it went so fast, but I had to do a little bit of last week too. And if you have opinions on when you'd like the show to be broadcast, half an hour, what time of day makes sense for you, I'm thinking in the weekend. I'm thinking in the earlier part of the day maybe makes sense or whatever. So at any rate, this is Ann Ortley. Today is January 9th, 2011. And this is the show for the week of 2011. Enjoy, enjoy. Take care, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.